The scripture for today, Isaiah 30, verses 18 through 26. The Lord God is waiting to show how kind he is and to have pity on you. The Lord always does right. He blesses those who trust him. People of Israel, you don't need to cry anymore. The Lord is kind. And as soon as he hears your cries for help, he will come. The Lord has given you trouble and sorrow as your food and drink. But now you will again see the Lord, your teacher, and he will guide you. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice saying, "This is the road, now follow it." Then you will treat your idols of silver and gold like garbage. You will throw them away like filthy rags. The Lord will send rain to water the seeds you have planted. Your fields will produce more crops than you need, and your cattle will graze in open pastures. Even the oxen and donkeys that plow your fields will be fed the finest grain. On that day, people will be slaughtered and towers destroyed. But streams of water will flow from high and towering mountains. Then the Lord will bandage his people's injuries and heal the wounds he has caused. The moon will shine as bright as the sun, and the sun will shine 7 times brighter than usual. It will be like the light of 7 days all at once. I must say it is more than an honor to be in your presence today, to be in this house of God. I never had a vision, or my MapQuest never allowed me to envision standing in this pulpit at any time soon. I just did not fathom it. So when I received the call, it was just a delight to accept. We've all gone through many changes, many different experiences since my last being here. But it helps to know that God is always on the throne. And these days, if I didn't have that source to which to turn, I don't know what I would do. And I say that to him, her. If it were not for you, what would I do? What would I do? Some interesting times. But before I get going, my first question to you is, if you remember the days of MapQuest, who remembers the days of MapQuest? And of course, we transitioned from MapQuest to GPS. And of course, at first we had the instrument. And I don't know about you, but I recall when we had the MapQuest, going back to that, especially when I would travel at night, I would need to pull aside sometimes and pull out my little copy to remind myself that I need to take highway, interstate, blah, blah, after 22 miles, and then I would certainly be mindful of tracking the mileage, so that when I would get to that point of 22, I would know to start looking for interstate whatever. And of course, with either of these instruments, how much do we question? How much did we question MapQuest? How much do we question the GPS? We have the instrument, and not only the instrument that we bought, but we also have GPS on our iPhones now. And some people wear them on their, the watch with the MapQuest. I mean GPS, I'm sorry. Without a question, or do we question if we're going to get there? Who questions? If raise your hand if you ever questions if you get there. Okay. But rarely, and most times it works. Most of the time it works. And reading the scripture for this morning, around this time, or shortly before this time, the Isaiah denounced those who sought human support. He wasn't inviting them to use a MapQuest or a GPS, but he questioned, denounced those who sought human support instead of depending on the Lord. In the scripture, Isaiah addresses specifically rebels of Judah depending on Egypt. And of course, as I read the scripture, and as I read the scripture along with other scriptures as well, I am reminded of an experience, one of my experiences, and I think I might have shared this with some of you, if not all of you, but some of you some time ago, when I planned my move, my transition to relocation, rather, to Charlotte. For me, it appeared to be the right time for me to relocate. Closer to my siblings. And of course, the more I thought about it, the more sense it made to me to get closer, live closer to my siblings. And of course, indeed, I followed through with my plan, directing my life. This is my plan, to direct my life. And in July of that year, I made the move. Not only would I be living closer to my siblings where there would be more frequent visits, I would also position myself to be settled when I retired. Well, a few months later, I began to wonder, what have I done? Where has my personal GPS led me? What have I done? Because by that time already, nothing that I touched appeared to be prevailing. And of course, an important component of that move was the job. The job that I went to Charlotte thinking was waiting for me had fallen through, and I had to start from base one. That was my GPS having led me to this point. And it wasn't long before my eyes opened and it became clear to me that I had relied on human knowledge and not the Spirit of the living God. And for the next 2 years, much time was devoted to being meditative, vigilant, focused on trying to get it right, get back on the path for God's direction, to regain my footing and let Jesus lead me. And one of my first recalls was how the Holy Spirit had spoken to me while I was busy planning and packing for that moment, for this mammoth relocation. Oh, I was excited. I was excited. I was reminded of how one day the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly and asked, "Is this of God?" I couldn't deny not hearing the question, but opted to ignore that it happened and forged forward with my plans. I believe that question presented to me was my question on par with God asking the people of Judah, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my directions. As I meditated on returning to God's path and letting him lead me, I was reminded of biblical evidence of how God restored Job with grace and his ultimate healing of Job's situation. And at that point, I knew and was further convinced that following my spiritual teacher, the Lord my God, was the direction to embrace. I was further reminded of God having told the children of Israel that he would deliver them, but out of unbelief, they were making their own plans. In fact, while in the wilderness, they rebelled against Moses. "Why did you bring us this way to be killed? We don't have enough food." And what did God do? What did he do? The next morning, they had more manna than they could consume. That's God's leadership and what it brings you to. Evidence, biblical evidence, very clear. So I felt hopeful when thinking of these storylines, biblical storylines, along with others, of course, because I was really searching for that leadership that would put me back on track. And I felt hopeful that getting back into God's grace on his path was the thing to do and that it was doable. Now, moving fast forward, I have a colleague who invariably asks, "When are you going to retire?" And I am delighted to tell him that when God directs me to retire, when he leads me to that place, and he will. I'm convinced that he will. I'm also reminded that when he poses that question to me, that I never envisioned working in the juvenile justice system. And I believe it is providential simply because my path there was after a friend called me one night. It must have been about 10 o'clock at night. And this was after she had approached me several times that I should apply for a position with the state after I completed my studying, that is, seminary studying. But I would ignore her. I did not embrace her approach. So after she called that one night, I thought about it, and I just didn't have that spirit. There was no desire. And I thought, well, how am I going to get her off my back? I could either say to her, "I applied," when I did not apply. But then I didn't want to fabricate, lie, in other words. So I decided, okay, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I will apply for this position. It was part-time, so maybe I will apply for this position just to get her off my back, because I am not feeling this, as the expression goes. I had 3 days to submit the application, and that particular night I went in and looked at the announcement and to see what all I needed to do, and applied as I did. Never thought about it after I submitted the paperwork, and actually had the feeling that, oh, I won't hear any more from that, so I can at least honestly tell Gwen that I did apply for the position, but I never heard from them. Well, wouldn't you know, 2 or 3 months later, I get this call. I have an interview. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, this is going beyond my expectation. So I thought about the interview, and finally I called back to say, okay, I will interview. And with this, I can also say to my friend, well, I went for the interview, but you know, I never heard anything from it. But interviewed, and I guess 2 or 3 more months later, I get this call that I have been accepted. So how am I going to handle this? Now I have gotten accepted into a position that I really don't feel. Even so, now this feels very providential for me. It feels that this is God-driven. And this is what I have to say to my friend, that when God directs me to retire, I will do so, because I have been in that place before where I stepped off the path and it wasn't anything beautiful at all. It was miserable, in fact. Using funds that you'd saved over the years to manage for 2 or 3 years, not knowing how long it's going to last. It doesn't feel inviting. But I believe and I hope that I am following God's directions because of the blessings that I am enjoying. Going into a facility, having a youngster approach you for prayer in the morning. You pray with that youngster, and other youngsters observing you praying with that youngster, and they follow suit one after the other. One morning I went into a facility and a youth approached me about prayer, wanting prayer, and there were so many followed him, I felt like I had already done a day's work. And I had only been there about an hour. I can only hope that I am on God's path. At this point, I have 2 youth at one facility waiting to be baptized on Thursday. A youth at another facility waiting to be baptized when COVID decides that it wants to let up and I can get into that facility. And I know that's something that God is going to work out, because God loves his children. And I know that that youth has God's blessings. So it'll work out. This scripture, though, leads me at this point to 3 points before closing. Point one, and I know I'm talking to the choir in some cases, but there may be others who need to be reminded, because I know I have to remind myself frequently of some steps or some actions that I need to take. Trust in the Lord. And that's one of them that I have to remind myself, because I allow my GPS to step in. And I have to remind myself that, no, this is not the way. Because God's way will tell you when to go right or when to go left, and there will be no doubt about it, and you will be going in the appropriate direction. According to Jeremiah Meyer, our heart, which I am also speaking of directions, are a deceitful, are deceitful above all things. Now, it doesn't say can be, it says our hearts are deceitful above all things. Not that our heart can be. There's a difference. They tell us what we want, but fail to warn us of the consequences of that path once we get there. You know, if I had known that once I moved to Charlotte, things would go in the direction that they went, I never would have gone. Proverbs 3:5 gives us a meaning to about directions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Thank you. We're also covered in Jeremiah 11, where we're informed, for surely I have plans for your welfare, and not for harm, but to give you a future with hope. A future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray with me, I will hear you. The second point. God will teach us which way to go. His Spirit lives inside us and will guide us according to His plan, not our plan, His plan. We have to learn and continue to listen. You know, that's I know for me, that's a challenge. Listening. You know, I think because I go into that corner and do my meditation every morning, that's enough, but that is it isn't. We have to learn and continue to listen to Him. We have not because we ask not, James informs us. You do not have because you do not ask. And I have to make myself remember that. So ask. God has it according to His riches and glory. It's there. So now I try to make a concerted effort to try and listen to His leadership, His guidance, even in small decisions. I'm sure some of you have this experience. I know I have the experience where sometimes I leave my glasses in a place where I don't normally leave them, and I can't readily see them. So I've learned to stop and say, okay, God, where are my glasses? And sometimes I say, okay, JC, are you playing with me today? What's going on? But you know what? When I stand still long enough, patiently, I usually get this discerning spirit showing me where my glasses are. This morning, I don't know where I needed to stop and ponder, what did I do with that check? And at first I went downstairs thinking I had left it on the steps, which I remember thinking to do. But it wasn't there when I arrived downstairs, so I was directed to go back upstairs. But God's leadership. As we learn to hear God's voice, we can find peace in knowing that we are following His plan. There's a peace in what we do. There's a peace now with me working in the juvenile justice system. Place I didn't want to go. But there's a peace. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. If it's God's plan, then no problem. And the last, third point, only God knows what is truly best for our lives. We can't see the whole picture, and we cannot see the master plan. But when we follow our heart directions, our directions, we can easily step outside of God's perfect plan. Not just a plan, it isn't just a God's plan. It's a God's perfect plan. Perfect. Perfect. And we should not forget it. In the morning when you get up, God, what is your perfect plan for me today? So good news, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God wants to guide us. And he wants to guide us in a mighty way. And when God guides us, he guides us through his Spirit. Not according to our will, but through his Spirit. Thank you, First Baptist. Thank you.